think we should get some kind of special discount when we go through the self-checkout line, don't you? It's like we work for the store for a little while.
Thanks for joining us today. You're listening to Laugh Again with Phil Calloway.
Are you cheap? I have ancestors who were so cheap they married thin girls so they could buy smaller rings. They used to ask for doggy bags at all-you-can-eat buffets. My dad was so cheap that he would climb into tightly packed subway cars to press the wrinkles out of his clothing. Here are things we recycled: tea bags, candle wax, chewing gum, and unpopped kernels of popcorn at the bottom of that bowl. Nothing was wasted. As the youngest of five, the clothing I wore was pre-loved. It was time-tested by four older children. I see kids buying these expensive pre-ripped pants now. I think that's all I had. I could have made a fortune. When you grew up in wall-to-wall poverty, as I did, it's mystifying to see wealthy people live poorly. At 31, Hetty Green inherited $7 million and watched it multiply thanks to great success on the New York Stock Exchange. And she bought mortgages. Many were on churches. If they couldn't make payments, Hetty Green foreclosed on them, and the fortune rolled in. Yet she lived in cheap apartments with no hot water. She insisted on spending only her husband's money. Her son lost his leg in a sledding accident because she wouldn't pay for a doctor. At work, she ate dry oatmeal heated in a co-worker's office. Nicknamed the Witch of Wall Street, Hetty the Hoarder was irritable and smelly. Her dresses were ragged and filthy. Co-workers kept their distance. Shop owners cringed at her arrival. For 20 years, she lived in pain before finally seeing a doctor. Outraged at his $150 operation fee, she said, "You're all alike, a bunch of robbers." Hetty Green died in 1916, worth billions in today's currency. With access to endless resources, she lived her life in poverty. You know, I've been guilty of this, of living poor when I could be living rich. The book of Ephesians shows me how. My book, Making Life Rich Without Any Money, points to Ephesians as a guide. Now, if you have a credit card, it came with a limit. But there are no limits on the extravagant riches of God's grace in Jesus, and the bank is open 24/7. If you've wondered who you are, what you have, and how to live life to the full, Ephesians tells you. In it, we discover that we are adopted by God, chosen by Him, united with other believers. We are saved by grace, free of the penalties stacked up against us by our sin. No longer are we strangers, but gifted insiders, servant partners with Jesus in the work He does, fully alive in Him, heirs to a great fortune. But these riches aren't for the hoarding. Each of them invites us to a rich life, a life of joy amid challenges and pain. We are to run on the track God laid out for us, loving others as Christ loved us, living with joy, generosity, and hope. Those who knew Hetty Green knew her this way. She was the poorest rich person alive. When she died, she left the money to her son Ned, who built mansions, bought a private island, and constructed the largest yacht known to man. But he was too seasick to ever use it. Imagine. Ironically, when he died, he left the majority to his sister Sylvia. And what did Sylvia do with the money of a woman who couldn't stand to give anything away? Well, she rebelled. When she died in 1951, she left the fortune entirely to charity, which reminds me of Proverbs 13:22. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. A little boy wrote, "Dear Santa, three boys live at my house. Jeffrey is 2, David 4, and Norman 7. Jeffrey and David are good some of the time, and Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman." Well, how good to know whatever kind of year we've had, God is still with us. That's the promise of Christmas that brings joy and hope. From the Calloway house to yours, a very blessed Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. Laugh Again, truth bringing laughter to life.